Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready? You want the noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
What?
The noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
This is my job.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
How do I turn the dial on the show I'm on? I feel like I got nowhere to go.
Truth be told, a majority of the American people would ultimately empathize with our situation.
Jeff Lutz.
The reason there's no weaklings is because there's no stronglings.
Nature versus nurture. Nature always wins.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Everything you need to make it happen.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome. It is a Thursday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, your co-host. Max Fire is our producer and engineer. 869-1240 is the phone number and the IHOP hotline. We've got a packed show today. We've got maybe the best lineup we've ever had.
Let's hear it.
Well, you tell me. At 2 o'clock, me.
Well, that's not a great start.
At 2:25, C.J. Moore from The Athletic. We'll talk college basketball. At 2:45, picks, although Duda can't participate.
2:45?
Yeah, we got to move him up. So, but he can't participate today.
Well, then that's not a very good lineup, is it?
What's so important that Jason Duda has going on?
He's part of the show. He's part of the picks. Why? Tell me why we got to move picks.
At 3 o'clock, Jive Talk, and at 3:25, acclaimed author John Feinstein, who has a new book out about Ivy League football. And we were afforded the opportunity to talk to this man, and I have great, great, great respect for him. I view him as a contemporary.
What books have you written? Because he's written about 100.
He's written about, but he was a sports writer.
I understand that.
And he's got a knack for writing books. And some of the most iconic sports books that have ever been written have come from the brain and the hands of John Feinstein.
I used to read his books all the time back in like high school.
I don't know when the last one he's written before this was.
Well, he writes some nonfiction stuff, or some fiction stuff too, I believe. So there might be something in there. He turns out books pretty regularly. And like I said, I used to read them all the time.
I believe it's been a little while.
My favorite book of his is A March.
It came out in 20...
Madness.
2020 what?
You talk about me interrupting you.
Yeah, but you when you're saying interesting things, I don't.
I'm talking about the guy's books.
Well, keep talking.
I just told you. My favorite one is... A March to Madness, which came out a long time ago, back in the 90s.
Like, The Last Dance was pretty good. His A Good Walk Spoiled was incredible. And he's got several others. I'd have to go back and look at all.
Yeah, he put out a fiction book back in 2022. He's got a ton of fiction books. And then he's got his sports writing books. And I don't know. How many he has, but he's got a bunch.
Well, anyway, we got him at 3:25, and I'm looking forward to that conversation. And then to wrap up the show, we have Gunther from World Wrestling Entertainment.
Gunther, the world heavyweight champion of the world.
We interviewed him a little earlier at his request. What'd you think of Gunther?
I wonder where he was, because...
Might have been in Austria.
He's not in Austria. He might
be. Well, when I asked him a question about Austria and learning, I don't want to give it away, but he said he mentioned here. in reference to
Yeah, because they are. They did tape Raw for next week this past Monday to give the people, the talent, some time at home for the holidays.
Well, his home's Austria.
Yeah, he might be.
No, it is.
It's where he grew up. He might live in Florida now, for all I know.
Well, the way he made it, now I picked up on this, you didn't. The way he made it sound is he's in Austria.
Then he might be in Austria. All I know is his phone connection wasn't great. But we get past that.
Well, we made it work.
The last guy we interviewed, Dominic Mysterio, not a great phone connection. What's going on with these WWE folks?
They do the best they can.
I hope this doesn't get back to him. I'd like to interview more of those people.
Who would you love to have on? If you could pick one.
One wrestler?
Yeah.
Duh.
Who? I don't know. Roman Reigns?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would he be interesting?
Oh, he'd be the most interesting.
I don't know. I don't know if he would or not.
Too polished and too corporate now?
I don't know if he would or not.
Well, that's who I want to talk to, my tribal chief.
I'd like to talk to Sami Zayn.
That'd be a good one. I'd enjoy that. Jey Uso. There's a lot of interesting.
Nah, Sami'd be the one. He is so good.
Haven't we interviewed him before?
No, we haven't. I've interviewed Randy Orton. You cowered away.
That was 40 years ago.
You were 20, 19, 18, 20. What were you?
More than 20 years ago. It's crazy that he's been around that long.
Walked into our studio.
He sure did. I went and
had
got
an entourage. Not really, just another guy with him.
No, I went and got him from outside. We had a great talk before. So
no,
I didn't. I didn't feel like I needed.
You didn't have a good talk.
We had a wonderful talk.
You walked down the hall where he had just done an interview on one of the other stations.
Oh, I remember getting him from outside.
No, you didn't get him from outside.
You sure?
Yes, I'm positive. He'd just done an interview with whatever.
I thought I brought him in to do all the interviews with the other.
You didn't. He had.
I was his handler for the day.
He had a person with him. And you sat over there in the next room just as scared as you could
wasn't
be.
I wasn't scared. It's just not my interview. I didn't need to.
Shaking like a leaf.
He didn't need
there.
To deal with me. I didn't need to deal with him.
Anyway, that's the show for today. Wichita State, Northern Iowa. What time does that tip off?
6:30.
You going to that one?
No.
I'm a little surprised.
Well, I did not get offered tickets to this one.
Who offered you tickets last time?
Tony Dusing, our esteemed leader.
Well, he didn't offer me tickets?
I don't know.
Did you ever ask for a media pass?
Uh-uh.
This is the year number 4 that I haven't had a media pass. Thoughts?
Really?
Yeah.
You had one at least 2 years ago.
No, this is year number 4. You may have had one. I didn't. And I had one for probably the previous.
I don't believe that.
27 years ago,
we weren't going to games together.
I wasn't.
I don't know.
No, I absolutely wasn't.
I remember picking up passes for you.
No.
Yeah, it happened. No, this isn't year 4 without a pass.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe year 2, but I'm.
No, it's my 4th year without a pass.
I think that's true.
I didn't get passes. You may have gotten one.
I don't know what I picked up then for you.
Not for me. You didn't pick up anything for
100%. I remember it specifically.
I can't say this for certain, and there's a little sadness to it, but I can't imagine ever watching a game live at Coke Arena again.
You've watched your final Wichita State game. It's crazy. I guess a lot of other people are feeling the same way.
No, I'm not saying that because I don't think the team's worthy.
No, I know.
I'm saying it because I've just kind of aged out of it.
Trust me, nobody's aged out of Wichita State basketball.
I kind of have.
Well, you didn't.
And here's my problem, and this will sound terrible, and I don't mean it to, and I apologize. I would only sit on press row. How'd that sound to you?
We sat in the stands.
How'd that sound to the people?
I don't know.
Because I worry
about
it.
I'm not concerned about it.
That sounds elitist, doesn't it?
I don't know. Haven't thought about it. Probably won't.
Well, think about it.
We sat in the stands. I stood.
Who's we?
I stood for defense. I went with my friend Randy and his 12, 11-year-old son, Jordan.
Well, good for you guys.
Yeah, maybe we'll do it again if Tony offers me tickets. Hint, hint. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
Why do you get all the perks?
Why do the guys in the morning get the perks?
You get the perks. I'm sitting here in my 57th year on this radio station, and I can't get what am I trying to say?
I don't know. Perk,
getting
I guess.
Worked up.
Well, relax.
I can't get a piece of bubble gum. What do you think that's all about?
Well, I think a sales representative hosts the morning show and plays favorites to himself, and that's how it
goes. We don't believe that. Don't do that.
What do you mean?
You feel like because I have some clout in the community that you can follow along.
Tommy, I don't care what people think. I'm not following anybody.
You're following me.
I'm not following anybody.
You're trying to get on those coattails. My dad can be irreverent. I'm going to go for it.
I've never followed anybody in my life, and I'm not starting today.
It's so obvious.
Tommy Caster is a good friend, but we'd like to give away some.
I think he'd be happy to have us give away some tickets.
We'd like to give away Cody Jinks tickets if we could, or get people on the text chain or whatever they're doing over there.
We can do whatever we want. We'll build up the greatest listenership in the history of radio. And nobody will even hear us say the word Cody Jinks.
Is that true?
Sure.
He's one of those Texas country guys. He's one of those well-respected.
Here's what I appreciate from what we get to do here. We get to spout off. We get to say things. We get to do what. What are they going to do? Here's the thing.
Isn't that great? We get to spout off.
No, you can't.
All I ever do is spout off. Why would you say that? You can say anything. You think you can. Like,
you got to have this job.
Oh, please.
I'll
drop some bombs right now. You would be completely out of it
if you lost this job.
I don't think so.
The money you're making, you got to have this job.
Yeah, I'm making a lot of money here, more than you, so it's nice.
Me, on the other hand, I do this basically so you can have the job.
Then don't. I'm no charity case, my friend. If you want to walk away, I welcome it.
Really?
Yeah.
What would you do?
Go home?
And that'd be it.
I'd figure something else out, or else I wouldn't.
Jeff and somebody else show?
Well, we might do it on Tuesdays and Fridays or something. I don't see a need for a full-time, five-day-a-week.
Well, why do you see the need now?
Yeah, because it's easy.
Yeah, because the old man gets the ball.
It's easy when I do it with Duda.
No, it's not.
Of course it is.
You guys would never have this kind of show booked.
I'm the one who got Goontown.
And please, my friends out there in the listening audience, don't take this the wrong way. Here's what your show with Duda would be. 225, we had David Michael Hahn.
Ooh, that'd be what a guess.
245, we got Cap, Anthony Capra. And,
do you think that's not working at the show. Do you think David Michael Hahn should be a more regular guest or character on the show?
And with all due respect,
could we give him?
And
a
I'll
segment?
Probably see David Michael Hahn and in a little more than a month at your birthday dinner.
Yeah, that's right.
And by the way, that dinner, nobody can talk to anybody.
That's not the point. We're there to eat rice, and
isn't there something to be said for a little camaraderie?
Where do you want to go? Like, where would you take?
Why can't I talk to anybody? I'd look into changing it up.
That's never going to happen.
Maybe the four of us.
Did you stop and think that maybe no one wanted to talk to you?
People love talking to me.
But did you stop and think about maybe that's the tide has changed on that? If you called
your friend Randy Griffiths and you ask him, hey, Randy, have you been my good friend forever? Who do you like talking to more, me or my dad?
Oh, my God.
You would not believe the answer. You would be floored.
I'll ask him right now.
You would be floored by the answer.
I'll text him right now.
And you know why? Because I can talk to him about his stuff. I go right to his wheelhouse.
Yeah, but not people don't always like talking about work, you know?
That's not
work. All you do is talk about him coaching
baseball.
I tap into his personality and
sure.
The things he wants to talk about.
If he had one, I'd tap in.
Yeah, but he sure likes you, though.
That's straight Rickles.
Straight Rickles gets a laugh from the audience.
Well, I can't hear the audience.
Exactly, and it's me.
Do you think Randy would chuckle at that, what I just said? Now, Brian, his father's listening.
He
text
is.
Text me, Brian, if you found that funny.
He didn't.
And don't text me if you didn't. That way it's clear
cut. How
do
we know he's listening?
He always listens. He always listens. Loyal.
A lot of people listen a lot, but not everyone always listens.
I'll get a text from Brian anytime.
Okay, good luck.
Surprised it hasn't happened already.
He's probably listening on a little bit of a delay.
You know, I like to give people credit where when credit's due. And I just want to mention, so people, when people do things, they don't do it because they want to be acknowledged. They don't do it because they want me to get on radio and talk about it. They do it out of the goodness of their heart. And the Newman Baseball Program, their coach is Drew Moss. He has purchased some baseball gear, glove, batting gloves, some other stuff, a bat bag for three of our players for Christmas and Thanksgiving. And it's kind of a deal they do over at Newman with the baseball program. And I wanted to mention it.
It's quite a deal.
I appreciate that. And those three players will learn about this at some point, and we're happy about that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's really cool. So there you go. There's who I am. I can go from being all over Randy Griffiths to making the audience
Mr. Touchy-feely. Yeah, it's disgusting.
That was disgusting?
A little bit.
Talking about Newman?
No, not that, but just the touchy-feely aspect. We don't need that on this show.
Well, I do it a lot.
We go after each other, and let's go.
Well, I don't mind going after you. I don't want to go after anyone else, necessarily. Except, boy, Brian's not texting me. I wonder if I hurt his feelings.
You must have, calling his son.
I don't like that.
His oldest son, Mr. No Personality.
No, I said, well, you said you try to delve into his personality.
And he said, well, if he had one, I'd do that. Same diff.
Now, that was funny. Not funny when you said it, but funny when I said it.
Okay. I believe you.
Shockers tonight. Do they win?
Yeah.
Do they win? What's the line on that game?
I don't know. Probably around what it was for Montana State. Close to double digits. Maybe even creeping into double digits a little bit.
I wouldn't think so. I'll
Northern Iowa lost by 20 at home to UC Irvine.
Yeah. It's 7.5, which is about what I would put it at.
And I would take the Shockers all day.
Okay. But that's what I had in mind. I thought 8, but 7.5 is close. Yeah, I think the Shockers will probably cover that, although Northern Iowa's always decent.
Florida, they've fallen off a little bit in more recent years.
Yeah, to some degree. They did beat Doug Gottlieb's club.
Well, that's good. They did a public service by
now,
doing that.
Is he at Milwaukee or is he at Green Bay?
Green Bay.
Yeah, they didn't beat his club. They beat Milwaukee.
Well, then maybe he did beat. I don't know where he is.
Northern Iowa was held to 22 points in the second half of their most recent loss, 80-60 to UC Irvine. I don't know if you want to be losing by 20 to UC Irvine. Although UC Irvine is off to a 3-0 start with wins over Chapman, Loyola Marymount, and Northern Iowa.
Last 4 years, they're 63-59, Northern Iowa.
Yeah, I'm not putting them on a pedestal. But it's going to be cool to have an old Valley foe in. Much as last night, Missouri State was in to play the Shocker women, and Missouri State came out with a win.
I don't like to hear that.
Well, whether you like to hear it or not is irrelevant.
Our friend Terry Nooner deserves better than us getting on the air and you know, giving it to Missouri State.
By the way, tomorrow, Celise Blow from Shocker Women's Basketball will be on the show at 3:25. We're going to have to move Joanna up. Hopefully she'll be able to do that. Joanna Chadwick from Vibe Magazine. As we talk about tonight's high school games, of which there are many, many, many good ones. Tomorrow's the real deal.
Yeah, it's, well, no, the
no better game in the world.
Semifinalists.
No better game in the world tomorrow than Aquinas, Mill Valley, and 5A in the eastern part of the state. Just an unbelievable.
Who would you take in that one?
I don't even know. You talk about two of the, maybe the two best programs in the state of Kansas. Now, Derby's going to have something to say about that. But Joel Appleby at Mill Valley, unbelievable coach. Randy Dreiling at Aquinas, maybe the best top 10 high school coach of all time in the state of Kansas.
Probably better
maybe
than
top
that.
Top five.
What, he's got seven or eight championships?
Maybe top three.
Yeah, maybe top one.
Well, he might be. You wouldn't get much of an argument.
You got the Bardas. Who else?
Eddie Creewell.
Yeah, he's up there. Randy Dreiling, of course.
You got a few of them.
Who is the Smith Center coach for? That
Roger
was Barta.
Yeah.
And his son Brooks did a lot of good things.
Played. He was a good player. Still a good coach at somewhere in Topeka. I don't know.
Who's?
I don't know why you do that to me.
I didn't do anything.
You trigger my brain.
I thought he
brain...
was at Silver Lake.
No.
Who was at Silver Lake?
C.J. Hamilton for years and years. And he'd be in the discussion.
He's in there.
All right, time for a break. We got a busy one. C.J. Moore from The Athletic will join us. He was at the Champions Classic in Atlanta on Tuesday night. We'll talk to him about KU and all of college hoops next.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
C.J. Moore, longtime journalist, currently with The Athletic, where he covers college basketball. You were in Atlanta the other night for the Champions Classic. C.J., welcome.
Man, long time makes me feel like I must be getting old.
Well, I'm not must be getting old anymore, so those days are behind me. Be happy for them while you have them, okay?
Yeah, how's it going?
Going good. So you were, as we said, you were in Atlanta. Great nightcap between Kentucky and Duke. I could watch that every night. Not so much in the opening game. Neither team really played very well. And I think the growing sentiment was, while we know KU's really good, we don't know that about Michigan State anymore. What's it take to get this field changed up, maybe?
Well, I mean, it's not going to be anytime soon because I think they just re-signed through 28, I believe. And, you know, I think the whole thing was Michigan State's idea to begin with. So I would assume you'd have to get the other three teams on board to boot them out, or maybe it's just an ESPN decision. But I don't see it happening. But I'm with you that, you know, Michigan State, about 4 years ago, was still pretty good. The last few years have been okay, but it would be more fun if we could get like a Connecticut or, you know, a team that's done really well the past few years in there, just because Michigan State that game has always been like the first one each week or each season now. Like whoever's playing Michigan State plays in the first one, and then you get the game everybody wants to see in the second one.
I don't want this to be a leading question because you might have, 30 examples, but I'm just curious, in today's college sports and college basketball environment, what does the average fan, do you think, get into? They never really know where anybody's playing. The biggest stars are usually freshmen that come and go after a year. There are teams that have been pretty consistent at the top, but what do you think is the draw for that average college basketball fan these days?
Well, it's probably still the big brands and the coaches that they know. You know, the coaches are the stars in college basketball, even though the players are starting to get paid significantly. And some of them are, you'll have a few guys that come through and are recognizable, and people want to see, like, a Cooper Flagg. I think people were very curious to see what he was because he's been so hyped. But I think the coaches are the stars, and the name brands are still something people will tune in and watch. But the constant move of players has definitely probably hurt in terms of the average fan wanting to, I know that guy. He's been at that school forever. You don't see a ton of that anymore.
CJ Moore, our guest. We're talking, got a lot to catch up on. It's been a little bit since we talked to CJ, but college basketball is back, and hopefully we'll have him on periodically throughout the season. So you speak of that, and you talk about the coaches, and certainly Tony Bennett was a brand at Virginia. He decided very shortly before the season started that he was going to step aside. By all accounts, he had grown weary of the current state of college basketball as it pertains to transfer portal and NIL and all those changes. How many coaches currently in the game would pat him on the shoulder and say, "Man, I get it"?
Quite a few. I mean, I've talked to several since that. We'll ask, was that it? Was it the NIL? Was it all that? And you say, yeah, it probably was. And they say they get it, but I think a lot of them still love the job. Still, it's still a really, really. Coaching college basketball is still a pretty good way to make a living, but I do think there are frustrations across the sport from coaches, not in that guys are getting paid, but just really the player movement has created a lot of headaches. And I think that the NCAA would be well served in maybe getting a few more coaches in the door when they have meetings, when they make decisions on things, and letting them have a little bit more say, because a lot of them, even the guys that are Hall of Famers, will tell you they don't feel like they have as much pull as they'd like.
Wanted to ask you about Wichita State, and they've beaten two teams that get to NCAA tournaments fairly regularly in Western Kentucky and Montana State. Not sure how impactful those wins will be later on in the season, but to you, over the first two games, has Wichita State begun to prove what they can be this year?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I haven't had a chance to watch them yet. I will be. I'm planning to go to the game in Kansas City against St. Louis here in a couple of weeks. But I haven't got eyes on them yet. But, I know Western Kentucky has been a pretty good team for, is usually relevant. And they've got a first-year coach. And, their second game, they lost a close one to Grand Canyon, who I think Grand Canyon is one of the best mid-major teams this year. They're still without Ty and Grant Foster, who, people around Kansas know because he played at KU for a year. But they're still without him, so he's their star. And but they're still a pretty good team. I know they played Baylor pretty close in the secret scrimmage. So I think the fact that, to be able to go on the road and win at Western Kentucky was a statement, but it's still really, really early. I don't want to go too far after two games.
Fair enough.
CJ Moore with us from The Athletic. So let's talk about the Big 12 and KU and K-State, but first a general question about the Big 12. Is it going to be as knockdown, drag-out as it looks like it's going to be? Currently, the 16 teams in the Big 12 have played 42 games. They've won 39 of them. And a couple of those losses were high-profile losses. Baylor lost to Gonzaga. Houston lost to Auburn.
Arizona State.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how this shakes out.
Yeah. So you got two of the three losses are to Gonzaga and the other one to Auburn, who, you know, I have those two as top five teams in my rankings. So I think the league's going to be really, really good. It's deep. The middle is pretty strong again. I thought last year that the top wasn't actually – I thought Houston was good and like a national title contender when healthy. But usually you have two or three teams in the Big 12 that you think have a chance to make a Final Four. I didn't think the top was as strong last year in the league. I thought it was actually kind of a little bit down. The depth was still good, but I thought it was a little down at the top. I think this year that's different. Houston looks awesome. Arizona looks really good. Hadn't played anybody yet, but plays Wisconsin tomorrow, so we'll get to see. You know, KU's off to a pretty good start. Iowa State hadn't played anybody, but you know, they got most of their leading scorers back. Texas Tech is looking like one of the best offenses in the country. Again, hasn't played anybody, but Cincinnati, those two teams I think could be really good. Baylor's good, and then BYU has maybe the best freshman in the country. And I say that while having watched Cooper Flagg as well. I think this kid, Igor Dimon, is right there with him. He's a Russian kid that they got, 6'9" point guard who is just awesome. I encourage people to watch him play. He's really, really fun to watch. So I do think the league is better than last year. And it, you know, all those teams I named, I would expect to make the NCAA tournament and be pretty tough to win at their place.
CJ Moore with us. Let's get to KU here and then maybe K-State. KU has already got wins over North Carolina, Michigan State. They have Duke coming up on the 26th of this month. They play Creighton. They play North Carolina State. Why did he load up? Now, he's played a good schedule in the past, but why do you think Bill Self loaded up this year?
I think it's just kind of they had to return one to Creighton, so it ended up being this year. You know, the Duke game, I think anytime he can play a brand like that, he will. So I don't know that it was intentional and like really, really loading it up in this particular season. But, you know, I don't think Bill's ever scared to play a good schedule. You know, he knows his team's going to be an NCAA tournament team. It's a lot of times those schools that are kind of feel like they're on the bubble even going into the year that want to, you know, beef up their win-loss record before they get to conference. So, he's never afraid to play anybody, and I think some of it is just circumstantial. And like NC State, while they're coming off a Final Four, like that's not a very good team.
Yeah, we were talking yesterday about Bill Self, and you know, never really has a ton of depth, or never really maybe even wants to. Pretty comfortable playing six or seven guys. Do you think eight is the number this year? That's kind of been what he's been going to early on. Do you think that gets trimmed, or do you think maybe even some other players begin to work their way into that mix?
I think Shaquille Moore, the transfer from Mississippi State, who's been hurt, he will be in the rotation. I'm pretty confident. Bill says he's his best defender. He likes him a lot. I think he'll be part of the rotation once he gets back. Now, does that cut into Diggy Coit's minutes? Probably. Does he get pushed out of the rotation? I don't know. Maybe. But once Moore gets back, I think that'll push it to nine, at least for the time being. Like, you know, Shaquille Moore is going to play in big games.
CJ, we always appreciate your time talking college hoops. We'll get back with you in a couple weeks and then get some updates, okay?
I hope I'll have watched soccer by then. Appreciate you guys.
No worries.
We put you on the spot. That we're known to do that.
Right.
That's the way it goes. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
CJ Moore from The Athletic. I knew when you went down that path.
I tried to be a little general, but I guess I didn't pull it off. What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, you're going to do what you do. And whether I like it or not.
Well, we knew we were going to throw a WSU question in there somewhere.
Well, yeah, we need to. But the problem is they haven't played a game yet where CJ would watch it.
No, not really. But that was kind of my point. These kind of name programs they have on their schedule, how many of them are even good this year? It's kind of remains to be seen. We know K-State is, but is Minnesota?
We think K-State is.
Is Minnesota? Is St. Louis?
Well, Minnesota's not good at all, and St. Louis
lost all their best players.
Injured. Avila.
No, yeah, he is at St. Louis. Dang. I was thinking
I heard you talking about St. Louis the other day with Duda, and this is where the show...
What did I say?
This is where the show falters.
What did I say?
Aware that he'd been hurt, and that's okay.
He wasn't hurt. He'd been playing.
No, he twisted his ankle.
Well, then he twisted his ankle.
And he's been out, and those are things that, you know...
Man, I can't just follow everything, okay? I don't know who you think I am.
Why do I know it?
Well, I don't know. You have Twitter. That helps.
Well, I mean, I pay attention.
I'm happy for you. Next time Ravi Avila has a health update, I'll be right on top.
All right, let's get to picks, as we do every week. Normally we have Jason Dude in, but he has something going on, mysterious, who knows. We'll get him going. Jason Duda has taken a commanding lead.
He has?
Over you.
What happened?
It's really become a two-person race. The rest of us will try.
Well, how many more points does he have?
He's got about 20 more points than you do.
Nah, that can't be right.
Let's start. Where do we start, Jeff? I sent these out
Tennessee,
to you earlier.
Georgia.
I don't know why in the world you can't help a guy out. Right, Anthony? How are you?
I literally just told you.
I'm here. I'm doing all right.
All right. Let's go to Tennessee, Georgia. By the way, Anthony, you won the week last week. Congratulations. Georgia giving 10.5 points at home to Tennessee. I'll start this one. I'm not very impressed with the Georgia Bulldogs at the moment. I like Tennessee here for 4. Jeff.
Yeah, this line scares me, but it seems like any sane person would look at what Georgia has been doing lately and run from a potential double-digit victory over Tennessee. I've got the Vols for 6.
Jason Duda picks Tennessee for 3. Max?
Uh-huh. Jeff, you trailed Duda by 16, by the way.
Oh, that's
Max, I keep the official book. Thank you.
No, what's Max is better at it.
Doesn't have a clue.
Okay.
Who wins every week in our game?
Max did.
He won last time.
Yeah, crushed.
He's now
you.
1-70. Go, Max. Who do you have?
Yeah, I don't trust Georgia lately either. In 10.5, I'll take Tennessee for 2.
And big fella Anthony, who do you like in this one?
I'll take Tennessee for 5.
Everybody going on the Volunteers. Jeff with the most confidence. Next up is Colorado at home against Utah. I just picked this game because it's Colorado, and they're an 11.5-point home favorite against a Utah team that put up a good fight against BYU. Jeff.
These picks are presented by FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Utah's athletic director making a fool of himself lately, talking about how he doesn't even really want to be in the Big 12, basically. So here's a game that isn't really a Big 12 game. It's an old Pac-10 game.
It's a Big 12 game.
These teams have been all in every conference. So with some familiarity, I think Utah hangs in, and I've got them for 3.
Utah for 3. Jason Duda picks Colorado for 4. Thanks, Sel. Win by a couple touchdowns.
Sure
Max?
Could.
Yeah, Colorado's good at home, and I like them for 8. That's my 8 ball this week.
Uh-oh.
Wow. Well, that makes me think. Anthony.
Yep, Colorado's at home. Utah is sucking on sour grapes, blaming the officiating. So, yeah.
God, he's good.
I'm taking Colorado for 8 as well.
Wow. You know, we've been doing these picks a long time. The vocabulary and the words you come up with, it's a breath of fresh air after the guys I've been picking with for a lot of years. Right, Jeff?
Yeah. What'd you say?
Utah. I'll, golly, why? Colorado for six.
I'm on an island.
Yeah, you are. I don't know why you picked that.
Who knows?
Missouri at South Carolina. Both of these teams still ranked. Missouri has only lost two, same as South Carolina. The SEC is a wild scramble. South Carolina at home giving 12.5. Duda picks South Carolina for one. Max.
Yeah, Mizzou's been up and down. So I'm going with the Gamecocks for four.
Duda picked the bonus game. He picked the wrong bonus game. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with Duda? I mean, the guy's got to have a little bit of intelligence.
You think so?
I was pretty clear, wasn't I, in what the bonus game was?
Yeah, looks like it.
Well, he's got the bonus game being K-State. So I'm going to just switch the two entities. And get Anthony, what do you have on this game, Mizzou and South Carolina?
Like you say, Missouri's been up and down. They're playing on the road, 12.5. That sounds like a large spread. So my confidence is I'm going three on the Gamecocks.
Wow. Yeah, Missouri living on the edge without their quarterback. That's a lot of points, but I'm going to pick South Carolina for one. Jeff?
Frankly, this is not a game we should have picked. I don't think...
They're both ranked teams.
I don't think anyone on this panel cares.
Both ranked teams.
Who cares? It's South Carolina,
both still
Missouri.
Alive for the college football playoff.
Be serious.
Both still in the hunt.
If either of these teams makes the college football playoff, sardines, and you have, and that's a guarantee.
All right, write that down, Max.
I will eat seven sardines.
Thank you, Max.
If either South Carolina,
we'll just make the pick.
I'm right
there. South Carolina for one.
Next, Kansas visiting BYU. BYU, strangely, this line is odd to me. Only 3.5 points. We start with Max.
I like BYU at home. Thin atmosphere. I'll take BYU for three. KU's been too up and down.
They haven't been very down lately. Anthony.
Yeah, KU is very intriguing. They played well against K-State. Couldn't quite get over the hump. Then last week, they put it all together. And KU has nothing to lose and more credibility to gain in this. So I'm taking KU and I'm laying four on them.
Four on Kansas. You know, I just have that feeling about this game that Kansas is going to rise up. BYU's not going undefeated in this thing, I don't think.
Or they will.
They still got Colorado to play, don't they?
No.
Who do they have left?
I don't know, but it's not Colorado.
Why don't you know?
Because I don't know.
And I'm not. That should be the name of this show.
If I knew,
Bob and I don't know show.
If I knew, no offense, I'm sure the listeners will be like, "Well, you host a sports show." If I knew who BYU played next week, I'd re-examine my life.
Anthony, who do they play? That's nice.
Who does BYU play next after KU? I don't know.
Yeah.
Even a new show.
Well, welcome to the I Don't Know Club. You're all fired.
Good.
I got KU for six. Or, I'm sorry, I got KU for seven. That's how confident I am. Jeff?
That's pretty crazy. BYU's at home. Need I say more? BYU for five.
And Duda has KU for eight.
Oh, my God.
What's he done, a complete
next
flip?
I don't know what he's doing. Next, we have K-State at home against Arizona State. Arizona State getting 9.5 in Manhattan. We start here with Anthony.
I'll go six on Kansas State.
All right. Six on K-State. I like K-State, too, here. I know Arizona State's pretty dangerous, and I'm not really sold on K-State, but I like them for three. Jeff?
Following a bye week at home, they'll put something together. K-State for seven.
Seven. Well, you're on a You're struggling right now.
I might be.
Duda has K-State for 10, but in his bonus game, he has a five-pointer, so we're going to put K-State for 5. Max?
9.5's a lot, so I'm going to use my 1 on Arizona State, just so.
Okay, there you go.
Don't lose.
Being a little different. Now to the NFL, Washington on the road at Philadelphia. Great game in the NFC East. Philadelphia, 3.5-point favorite. I'll start this one. Philadelphia's playing really well. I like them. I like them quite a bit. I like them for 8. Jeff.
They're playing okay, but they haven't beaten anybody. That's the problem. And I still don't know. I like Washington here for 2.
You're falling apart, my friend. Jason Duda likes Philadelphia for 7. Max?
Yeah, I'm with Duda. Philly's playing good. They got a good offense. And Washington has to be down after that little lob that beat them last week. So I'm going Philly for 7, especially since they're in Philly.
Why has the team got to be down? These are professional, grown adult
Just
athletes.
Just make your pick and feel good
Nobody's
about
down.
It. Feel good about your pick. Don't lash out.
I'm lashing out.
Anthony?
I like it.
Very intriguing game. You got Jaden Daniels unfazed by the moment going up against Philly, but they got Saquon Barkley. So, home game, I'm taking Philly and let me see what I have there. 2.
2. 2 on the Eagles. Now our bonus game, Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Tough one. Baltimore at Pittsburgh, 2.5 points. The Steelers are getting at home. Jeff?
Lamar Jackson struggles against the Steelers. I'll just ride with that and go with Pittsburgh for 4.
I got out of order there, but that's okay. Pittsburgh for 4. Duda picks Pittsburgh for 5, but because he got the bonus game mixed up, he's got 10 on Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Max.
Why not just 5?
Because he got mixed up on the bonus game.
So you just switched him?
Yep.
Oh, he's not going to like that.
Bob's the president, and he can do that.
I guess so.
I don't know. I don't know who the Steelers really, outside of last week's game. Although, hey, Bob, do you ever think that Russell Wilson and Justin Fields would be on the same team? Since Justin Fields was Russell Wilson coming down the pike? Think about
Just make your pick, Max, and leave the sarcasm to someone.
Baltimore,
I don't think he was being sarcastic.
Baltimore for 4.
Baltimore for 4. Interesting. Anthony.
Okay, so I need clarification. Is this the bonus game that we're picking right here?
This is the bonus game. Jeff picked it for 4. Duda for 10. Max for 4. How many points are you going to put on it? 1 to 10. And of course, in the bonus game, if you get it, you get those points. But if you miss it, you lose those points.
Baltimore-Pittsburgh. See, I heard someone say Lamar Jackson struggles against Pittsburgh, but this time Lamar Jackson got some help. His name is Derrick Henry. I'm going to go 10 on Baltimore.
Wow. 10.
Somebody's 10. Losing 10
on Baltimore.
That's a lot for a division game.
He won the week. He's feeling up.
I just don't feel 10. Anthony's got ground to make up. So do I. I'm picking the Steelers. I'm picking the Steelers for 6. Next, Cincinnati on the road to face the Chargers in L.A. That's a 1.5-point game. Chargers favored. Jeff? I'm sorry. Jeff? Whose turn is it?
I don't know. I picked first last time.
Duda picks the Chargers for 2. What about you, Max?
Since he's been decent on the road, they need this game, so I'm going Cincy for 5.
Cincinnati for 5. Anthony?
I'm going to go Cincinnati 1.
Yeah, it's a little hard to conjure up a ton of confidence here. I like the Chargers for 2. Jeff?
I've got the Chargers for 8.
What?
Yeah, just think
that's just crazy.
Think they're better than Cincinnati, and they're at home, so let's go.
Wow.
Yeah, got to use your 8 on something.
SoFi's not really a home field for them.
It isn't, but they are there.
Yeah.
Huh. Whatever that means. Kansas City. Yeah, I got you. Kansas City and Buffalo. In Buffalo, the Bills are a 2.5-point favorite. We start with Max on this one.
As if we the Bills will be playing against the refs, and the quarterback on the other team will be faking like he's hurt and then running around.
Say it, Max. Josh Allen's the man.
Josh Allen is the man. The Bills for 6. Easy.
Anthony.
I got 7 left, and I don't know who to lay it on, because if there's a game that Kansas City would finally lose, it seemed like this would be it. And Buffalo just seemed like the team that they could probably pin the first loss on them because of the fact that Josh Allen does not have all of his weapons that he used to have, but he's making the best of it and making stars out of them. So I'll say the star shines bright on Buffalo, and I'm going to give them my 7th spot.
Poetic. You would think Buffalo, but there's something about these Chiefs. I like Kansas City, and I like them for 5. What about you, Jeff?
Well, if they're an underdog, they haven't lost, so I'm just going to roll with them until they prove that they even can lose. So I'll take the Chiefs, and I have my 4.
And Duda picks the Chiefs as well for 6. Interesting.
There you have it.
Interesting. Some interesting picks this week as we reach the halfway point in our picks. Thanks, Anthony. We'll see you here tomorrow for the 3-man booth.
All right.
All right. Look forward to it.
Later.
Max, thank you. Let's get a break in. We'll come back with hour number 2. Author John Feinstein will join us at 3:25 today to talk about his latest book on Ivy League football. Back in a minute.
Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Who's better at this job of radio?
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Jeff Lutz.
Really good to great, you know, depending on the day.
Wow! Hey! Isn't that exciting?
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It's showtime, baby! You'll go wacko, bananas, nuts, crazy, unbelievable!
All right, we are back. Hour number 2, the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH Radio. John Feinstein will join us.
Feinstein.
I'll get that right. Will join us shortly to talk about his new book, which is about Ivy League football. And then to cap the show today, we'll talk with Gunther from World Wrestling Entertainment. He'll be part of the crew.
I don't think it is World Wrestling Entertainment. It's just WWE.
I'll call it what I want. He'll be in Wichita on December 9th for Monday Night Raw. He'll be wrestling Damian Priest for the World Heavyweight title coming up at Survivor Series War Games on November 30th.
Yeah, that's a good one. Who do you think the 5th member of the teams are going to be?
Don't know. Will we have the gathering here at the Hacienda for that one?
I assume so.
Our friends, the Griffiths, who, by the way, no text from Brian after.
Yeah, I got one from Randy, though.
After my insult to Randy.
Yeah.
Read the Randy text.
I said, who do you enjoy talking to more, me or Bob? He said, you, as in me.
No, no, read the text.
I just did.
Really? He said that?
Of course.
Well, you presented it in a whiny, needy fashion. What's he going to say?
I did. I asked him.
Hey, Randy, who do you like talking to more?
No, that's not what I said.
Well, of course he's going to say you.
Oh, really?
He's probably thinking, what's
this? So when you give someone a choice between two things, that's whiny? That's a weird...
Yeah, read the question.
I did.
Read it again. And let the audience decide.
Well, hopefully we don't have that many morons in our audience.
Office? We got one right here in the quote-unquote office.
Well, there are some morons back at the office, but I won't tell you who they are. Who do you like talking to more, me or Bob?
What a whiny question.
Yeah, oh my God.
I could present that to
I'm the whiny one. Are you listening to yourself right
I could
now?
Present that to everyone in my contact list, and they'd all say me.
Okay, well then do it.
I'm really upset with Randy.
Ah, you'll get over it, and I don't think he cares, so...
What do you guys talk about?
What do you mean, what do we talk about?
Girls? What is
girls.
It?
What's wrong with you?
Max, please save that.
No, please throw that into a fire. Along with the rest of today's tape.
You talk about your jobs? You talk about
the
old days? What do you?
No, we don't talk about the old days.
You don't talk about the old days.
Why would we?
Well, that's what friends do.
I don't remember anything about them, so it's not really... there's no real need for that.
I've always talked to my friends about the old days.
I mean, he brings some stuff up occasionally, but again, I don't remember anything that happened, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, that's not a good sign for you.
Nah, it's whatever.
Not a good sign.
It just is what it is.
I remember everything.
I move forward. I remember the stuff that is happening now and that I need to know today.
Name one of my, you know several of my friends. By the way, I was just conversing with one on Facebook,
who?
Mike Klein, who I went to school with and was a very good friend. Very good friend.
Okay.
And we're going to meet up at the Oasis on November 30th. He just moved to Oklahoma to be closer to
just
one
said
of his
that's
kids.
When Survivor Series is.
Well, we'll meet up there at 4 o'clock. What time
what
did
dumb
he say?
Time to... Let's meet at 3:15. Like, who does that?
Well, let me see what time he said.
You got it?
Around 5. I'll say, can we make it 4:30? And 4:30, and we'll be back
here. Why don't
here.
You just go have a Grand Slam breakfast if that's what you're doing?
Well, I like Mike Klein and his wife.
You must. I like him.
You know, I'll talk about the friendship a little bit. You want to hear a story?
No.
He had an old Rambler station wagon, and he lived in a house along, what was the name of that street? Georgie. And he had this old house, his parents, Elmer and Bertha.
Was Georgie the name of the street or his phone number?
Think about that. Elma and Bertha. And he had this little area to the south of his house that was perfect for wiffle ball. So we played hours and hours of wiffle ball in that lot.
AKA a yard.
It had a fence for left field, and it had a parking lot for right field. So if you hit a ball over the left field fence, it's a home run. If you hit a ball onto the concrete parking lot, it's a home run. And it was so much fun playing whiffle ball.
Oh, my God.
You don't have any stories like
no,
that.
No, I don't.
Here's your story.
I never played
well,
whiffle
I sat
ball.
In the basement, and, I huddled up with cartoons. I mean,
what
you
that
got
even
nothing.
Mean? I huddled up with cartoons?
You got nothing.
I certainly am not
who,
bringing
well, who
those
would,
stories who, onto the show.
My reminiscences are...
Because you played wiffle ball?
Yeah.
Everybody played wiffle ball. Give me something unique.
He was a Minnesota Twins fan. So his favorite player at that time, and he always accentuated
was Walter
the
Johnson.
Last name, Gene Roof.
I like mine better.
Or was it Phil? It was Phil Roof.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, if you look all this stuff up, it's accurate.
I liked Walter Johnson. That should have been the end of that segment.
And the way that I recall this stuff is pretty darn amazing.
Yeah, if you cycle through three or four names, you'll stumble on
give
it.
Give me another name.
Walter Johnson.
Of a friend of mine. And no, I'll give you another story.
No, I'm all right.
This is beautiful radio.
Is it time for Feinstein yet? I know we went a little long
Feinstein.
In the last...
Feinstein. This is beautiful radio.
Are you going to get his name right when we talk to him?
Probably once or twice.
I don't want a Washington Post columnist hanging up on us. It's not a good look.
Give me another name. I'll tell you the first story that pops into my head.
I prefer not.
Well, I don't. That's so derogatory toward the show.
One old time Bob story is enough.
I'll give you a name. You tell me a quick story. First thing that jumps into your mind.
Okay.
I don't think I knew many of your school friends.
Well, I didn't have that.
Jesse Barnett.
He was the catcher in a JV game at East when I pitched. I said, we're going to work the outside half of the plate today. I threw everything onto the outside corner a little bit off. Got so many called strikeouts that day. It was unbelievable. We went home and had a great time. He also
married... went home with Jesse?
No, it went to our separate homes.
Well, how do you know he had a great time?
He also ended up marrying someone that I had a fondness for, who was in our driver's ed class.
Name?
Her name was Kyla.
Hey, that's the story of your life.
That's true.
He got my girl. Kyla
didn't know I existed. I never spoke with Kyla. I just admired her from afar.
That's even sadder.
And Jesse, you know. Jesse got the job done. Are they still married?
Here's what Jesse said to Kyla. We'll throw some pitches on the outside corner. What do you think? Let's go to dinner. And that worked.
Yeah, we beat East that day. It did work. Or whoever.
Well, it's too bad you didn't have the gumption to go talk to her.
It is what it is.
Is he still married to her?
She's listed as Kyla, her last name, /Barnett, so.
Well, good for them.
Yeah, good for them.
They live here in town?
Yeah, looks like it.
I coached Jesse Barnett, remember?
Yeah, I do.
I wonder if he knows he's being talked about on radio.
I haven't.
See, this is the beauty of trips down memory lane.
I haven't thought of or heard from Jesse Barnett probably since that game.
Well, look what I've done.
Against East.
You don't think the listeners appreciate this?
I'd like to hear from Jesse Barnett.
Now, see?
Are we Facebook friends? I doubt it.
See what I've done?
No, not really.
Of course you do.
I mean,
what I've done is unlock a long-lost friend.
I don't understand what you're going for there at all.
Give me one.
I don't know who your friends are.
You know my friends.
Yeah, but I know the people you've talked about for 50 years.
Give me another one.
I don't know.
My goodness, man. Bob O'Neill. You want to hear a story?
I'll pass on Bob O'Neill.
He put together a softball team. And we had tremendous times playing softball on the team he helped organize. Invited me to play. I was mostly the pitcher, but I played some third, some first. And because I didn't have a big ego, as people know, I could hit. But I slapped the ball up the middle almost every time because it was so easy for me. And I just said, I'll just go ahead and get a base hit here and we'll move the line along, you know?
Yeah, give me another one.
No, I don't want to give you another
one. Was that it?
I'm telling the story.
I thought that was it.
All right.
I got a hit one day. Well, that is a story for you.
Nick Long.
Who?
From your basketball days.
I don't know. Probably had a rich family like everyone else on that team, except me.
I bet I've seen Nick Long since you have.
Oh, and there's no...
He showed up at League 42 7-8 years ago on a horse.
For what?
It's a mounted police officer.
He is?
He was at that time.
Huh.
And we had a great conversation, and I really enjoyed that. That was fun. I even have stories about your friends.
Yeah, I don't care about Nick Long.
You don't have a story.
I want to hear the story about how I ended up on that team.
You don't have stories about your friends.
With all these Eastsiders who went to, like, Trinity Academy and stuff, and all these rich...
I don't remember how...
How did I end up on that team?
I don't remember how you ended up on that team.
That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
Some stuff I actually want to know.
But it was good. It was fun.
Yeah, I was a 2-time All-Star.
Thomas Cole. Give me the...
Eesh.
What do you mean?
He's no longer with us.
He's not?
He is not.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't know it either until a few years ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I was texting with Rob Ramsire and Andy Biggs.
Well, Andy Biggs, you got a million stories about Andy.
Yeah, he was a good friend. Stayed the night at his house. poured water in a boxing glove that he had or his dad had.
And his older brother, Doug. I mean, those were good years.
And got in trouble for that.
As you should have.
I'd seen it in a movie or something.
All right. Good stuff. If you don't like that stuff, listeners, you're not a true listener.
Absolutely. Tom Cole is a good player.
We're going to do that periodically.
What did they call him? Rodman or something like that?
Now, look at you. You're completely wrapped up in this.
Do you remember? I don't remember.
Then there's that little kid whose name I can't remember.
Robert?
No.
On the Warriors?
Yeah.
We didn't have any little kids.
Blonde hair.
Brian Ginch?
There you go.
Sat next to his sister in meteorology class. And again, another missed opportunity. What are you going to do? Could,
that's the perfect class for small talk. What do you think of the weather? Those clouds sure look interesting.
Yeah,
and instead, you just sit there.
And she specifically sat next to me every day.
Ridiculous. What a coward.
Isn't that crazy?
There's no better place to talk weather than a meteorology class.
We didn't talk weather.
We'll take a break, come back. John Feinstein will join us. One of the great authors, really, of our time. Stay with us.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Let's get right to John Feinstein. He's been good enough to join us to talk about his new book. It's called The Ancient Eight, College Football's Ivy League and the Game They Play Today. John, first of all, welcome. We're very happy to have you on our show.
A pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys. As I said, I appreciate it.
I'm an old sports writer, and you're a sports writer. I'm not going to put the tag old on you, and I did it for a lot of years.
Old, but...
What I want to know first and foremost, I think I'm a pretty decent writer. I can't imagine sitting down and writing a book. I don't have the patience or the concentration level, and you've written about a million of them. How do you do that?
Well, I think the honest answer is I really enjoy it. I was very lucky that my first book, Season on the Brink, when I was in my 20s, did as well as it did because it allowed me to pick and choose my topics after that book came out and after it sold as well as it did. And I've always been able to choose topics I enjoy, to do books that I want to do and to deal with people that I want to deal with. And The Ancient Eight's a perfect example because spending a season with Ivy League players and coaches was just a joy for me. I enjoyed every second of it, except for driving on I-95 here in the Northeast.
So, you know, to tell the story of the Ivy League or even to chronicle just one season, you have to go back more than 150 years to the beginning of college football and when the Ivy League began to get together. So what connections were you able to make between then and now? Obviously, it's a very different game, but I know there's some tradition that has lasted that long. What did you discover in that area?
Well, first of all, as you know, Princeton played in the first college football game. against Rutgers and lost 6-4 because back then the game was more like rugby than the football that we know today. And Princeton, on their helmets, they still wear 1869. So they want people to know they were part of that history. And the Ivy League has had a lot to do with all of college football's history. The Yale Harvard rivalry dates back to 1875. It is the game, no matter what Michigan and Ohio State say, because they were playing each other 20 years before Michigan and Ohio State ever heard of one another. And Princeton-Cornell is a great rivalry. And throughout the league, you have rivalries that date back more than 100 years. But, and I should say before I say but, years ago, the Ivy League teams won national championships all the time. When I walked into Harvard Stadium for the first time doing this book, there were 8 national championship banners. But the last one was in 1919, and no, I did not cover those teams. But the point being, back then they were national powers. Then the presidents in 1954 made a conscious decision as college football got more and more out of control, although nothing back then compares to what we have going on now, that they wanted to play football. They wanted it to be competitive, but they didn't want to sell their souls in the name of winning games. They didn't want to let guys in who were football players who shouldn't be going to an Ivy League school academically. They didn't want to spend millions of dollars on facilities and on recruiting and things like that. So they formed the Ivy League. The title of the book comes from that, the Ancient Eight, because there will never be an Ancient Nine or an Ancient Seven or an Ancient 12. We will always know the 8 teams playing in the Ivy League now and 100 years from now. It'll be the same 8 teams. And they, as I said, they made the decision to not compete for national championships and to compete with one another most of the time. They only play 10 games a year, and 7 of them are conference games. They play 10 games in 10 weeks, no postseason, which I disagree with, because the Ivy League teams in every other sport are allowed to play postseason, but the presidents won't let the football champion play in postseason. And I would make the case that they would be very competitive on the FCS level if they were allowed to compete in the tournament, which they're not. But there's so much history, tradition, legacy in the Ivy League, and yet the players who play the game today are very good players. There's usually between 12 and 15 of them in the NFL every season. And the competition is so fierce. I mean, I spent last year on the sidelines at every game I went to, and you can feel the emotion from the kids because most of them aren't going to play professional football. They're going to go to law school or med school or go to Wall Street. I hope they won't be sports writers. No offense, Bob. But it's so emotional because they love football, but they also know they're in college to get a degree and graduate.
Well, there's not a lot of Ivy Leaguers who go into sports writing, so I'm not too concerned, but we'll see. John Feinstein joining us. His new book is out, The Ancient Eight, College Football's Ivy League and the Game They Play Today. So we're all fascinated by the Ivy League. What's the school in the Ivy League that maybe doesn't get its due? Tell us what you think there. Which one is underrated? Well, which one do you kind of pull for?
Yeah, they're all very good academic schools, as you know. But yes. In the last 18 months, the school that's been a unique story and a sad story is Dartmouth. Because a year ago March, Buddy Tevens, who graduated from Dartmouth, was an all-Ivy quarterback and was a very good hockey player on a team that went to the Frozen Four in 1979. He had coached them for the second time round since 2005 and had turned them around from 0-10 to 7 Ivy League titles. And Buddy was also important because he was the first college coach who said, we can't allow all these head injuries to occur. We have to do something about CTE. And he called off hitting in practice. And the Dartmouth scientists actually came up with a machine that you could put on the field, and it would show the players how to tackle properly. And many schools are using that now because it's so valuable in terms of the safety of the players. But Buddy was on vacation. I had already spoken to him about doing this book, and he was very, like all 8 coaches, he was very excited about it and was all for the project. And 2 weeks after I had that conversation with him, he was riding his bicycle home from dinner in Florida with his wife on vacation, and he was hit by a truck. And he barely survived the accident, lived for 6 months, but eventually died from all those injuries the week before Dartmouth's home opener last season. And I was in the locker room that day, and the talk that Sammy McCorkle, who was then the acting coach, gave to his players still gives me chills just to think about, because he was so firm about what Buddy would have wanted from the players and how proud he already was of the players and how they had handled his injury and losing another player, Josh Bellera, starting offensive lineman, to cancer. Josh died the day before Buddy's accident. So they'd been through so much. They won the game that day, and they went on to tie for the Ivy League title last year with Yale and Harvard, after being Big Six before Buddy died. And this year they're tied for first. And I don't know if you've ever been to Dartmouth, guys. I had never been before last year, but it is a spectacularly beautiful place. It does get cold in the winter, but it's almost – the other Ivy League schools refer to the people at Dartmouth, players, coaches, teachers, whomever, as being part of a cult in a good way, because they all love it up there so much that once you get up there, and it takes a while, but once you get up there, you never want to leave.
Wow. So, you know, who you mentioned that these teams were vying for national championships, and who in that era or longer than an era, it stretched out for a little while, who are some of the central Ivy League football figures of those times? And was there one who maybe even rose above the rest as kind of the central figure?
Well, one of the last ones who was a contender for the Heisman Trophy, two of the last ones I'll give you, Cosmo Iacovazzi, who played out of the single-wing offense at Princeton in 1962. The team went undefeated, and there were two prominent players signed by the New York Jets that year, Joe Namath and Cosmo Iacovazzi. So that's certainly being a part of history there. And then in 1971, you guys might remember this, Ed Marinaro finished second in the Heisman Trophy voting while at Cornell, and probably should have won, and went on and played for the Minnesota Vikings for 10 years. And then afterwards, you might remember, went on to be a very successful actor on Hill Street Blues. And his son, Eddie, who's a wide receiver, is at Cornell right now. He's in his senior year.
Wow, that is amazing. Talking with John Feinstein, whose new book is out about the Ivy League and its football programs. I want to backtrack to you. You mentioned Season on the Brink, and talk about hitting the ground running with your first book. Of course, the story about Bob Knight and Indiana basketball. First of all, what made you jump into that fire at such a young age? And then secondly, how did you feel when Bob Knight passed away?
Well, I was very sad. I mean, he had a sad death because he had dementia. And the last couple of years of his life, he really didn't know where he was. I don't know if you ever saw a tape of his when he finally returned to Assembly Hall in Bloomington almost 20 years after he'd been fired. And you could tell just looking at him on television that he wasn't well. So it made me sad that he died the way he did. And I've always said, you know, Bob and I had our battles after Season on the Brink came out, but we eventually patched things up. But I've always said that I will be forever grateful to him because the access he gave me to do that book allowed the book to become the bestseller that it did. And the reason I, quote unquote, jumped in, to use your term, is, you know, I'm like any writer. I wanted to write a book. And, you know, I had asked Dean Smith about a similar project a few years before. I had a great relationship with Coach Smith. And he said to me, John, I wouldn't let my mother in the locker room. And my answer to that was, but you don't curse, Bob. Why wouldn't you let Dean? Why wouldn't you let your mother in the locker room? Bob did curse. But I developed a relationship with him covering his Olympic team in 84. And I wrote a long piece on him during their terrible season in 84, 85. And he called me to thank me for it. because he thought I was fair to him. This was right after he threw the chair, and invited me to a dinner at the Final Four that he always had with his coaches and friends. This is when the Final Four was played in the afternoon on Saturdays. And I thought to myself, he's inviting me into the into his inner sanctum. What if I could do that for a year and write a book? And I asked Bob about it at after the dinner that night. Mike Krzyzewski was in the room because he and Bob were doing a clinic together the next day, and they were planning it. And then I made the proposal to Bob to try to find a publisher to do the book. When we walked out of the room, Mike looked, as soon as the door closed, Mike looked at me and said, "Are you out of your blanking mind?" And I said, "What? What are you talking about?" And he said, "You're volunteering to spend a season with him? You're crazy." And I said, "Well, you played for him for 4 years. You coached for him." And he said, "Yeah, I needed to go to college. You went to college. I needed a job. You have a job. You're out of your mind." He wasn't wrong, but I'm glad I didn't listen to him. Five publishers turned the book down, and finally, a sixth one, Macmillan, offered me an advance of $17,500 to do the book, and I did it. And 50 books later, here I am.
So,
Great story. Real
quick, John, I'm curious because I think the first book of yours that I read was a while ago. It's crazy. But it was the Army-Navy book, which was obviously fantastic. I'm just curious how your experience kind of with that book and around those people compared to your experience around Ivy League people, because those obviously are organizations that aren't first known for football. Were there similarities in those communities?
Very much so. Very much so. Obviously, there's no military aspect in the Ivy League, but Civil War, in many ways, along with another book I wrote about Patriot League basketball, The Last Amateurs, really inspired this book because I enjoyed the players that I met and interviewed and wrote about in those two books so much. They both ended up on the bestseller list. I hope this one will too, but I enjoyed them so much. I thought, wow, it would probably be a lot of fun to do a book on Ivy League athletes. I grew up in New York City. I went to Columbia games as a kid. They were terrible, but I still enjoyed going to the games. $4 to get in, by the way, and sit on the 40-yard line. So I went to my publisher, and I said, I'd love to try to do a book on Ivy League football. And fortunately, he had read both A Civil War and The Last Amateurs, and he thought it was a great idea. And at least from my point of view, from the experience that I had, it was a great idea.
Well, your writing has touched a lot of people in your life, and I'm sure that's very gratifying. And this latest book, The Ancient Eight, about Ivy League football and its history, will do the same. Before we let you go, and thanks again, John, for doing this. Is there an idea percolating in your brain for the next book?
It's a great question. There are about five of them right now. And once I get through with this book tour, I need to sit down with my agent and my editor and see which of the five they like the best and which of the five I like the best. And I hope I'll get to do another one.
Well, we hope so too. Thanks for being on the show with us today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you. John Feinstein. One of the great authors in our country, and that's all there is to it.
Just a pro.
Thank you. Oh, John.
A fantastic interview.
Well, we love the guy.
You could talk to him all day.
Well, I have a million more questions.
Of course, as anyone should and would.
A million more questions. But I'm glad I got the Bob Knight thing, because that's fascinating to me. Here's a guy in his 20s. Yeah, I'll go spend a season with this nut. This volatile coach who might do anything.
Sure.
I can see once you get to your 40s and 50s and you've got a body of work, but your first book, that took a lot of courage.
It sure did.
And you wouldn't ask a girl out in your meteorology class.
Pretty weak. But what are you going to do?
Well, that's just
everything worked out.
Just pathetic. Thanks again to John Feinstein. I can't tell you how much I appreciate him coming on, even if it is to plug a new book and share all of his stories and insights. I just really enjoyed that. Let's get to Jim on the IHOP hotline. Don't forget, celebrate the weekdays with the new IHOP House Favorites, all for $6, Monday through Friday. Jim, what do you have?
Yeah, I got a Jeff game for you. Can you name the Ivy League schools? And was Slippery Rock one of them?
No.
I can't either.
What are you talking about?
Harvard, Princeton, Yale, school. Dartmouth, Cornell.
Brown.
I already said Brown. I've got six of them.
Columbia, you didn't
Columbia,
say.
Columbia, that's seven.
Cornell, you said. Uh-huh. Princeton, Harvard, Yale, Penn. Did we say Penn?
That's it. Those are the eight, not Slippery Rock, Jim.
I don't even know where you're going with that. Rock.
Well, I always thought that whenever they always added Slippery Rock in a news broadcast, that was one of the Ivy League schools that they just threw in for entertainment.
Well, Slippery Rock that's not. Slippery Rock is
I
not.
I think you were watching a different program.
Slippery Rock is in that vicinity. They're in the Ivy League territory, but not an Ivy League school. Thank you, Jim.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I don't want to talk about anybody's Slippery Rock anymore.
No, we weren't talking about anybody's Slippery Rock. We were talking about the school.
Yeah, Jim.
And when you try to get to vulgar humor, it never works.
It just made me uncomfortable because it seemed like...
It never works because you're not... You miss the opening.
No, I didn't. You think I have... No, I've never missed...
You miss that opening.
As Jim might say, I've never missed an opening in my life.
Yeah, it didn't work for you.
I think we just got kicked off the air anyway.
With more creativity and better sense of timing, maybe.
Well, my timing is fantastic.
I mean...
When you start pulling out insults that aren't true, then, you just damage...
Well, you can say they're not true.
No, they're just objectively not.
You can objectively disagree.
Right, and I do.
Subjectively, it was a bad attempt.
I know, subjectively it was. Objectively, which is what we're aiming for, it was fantastic.
Objectively, it was terrible.
Mm-mm, you missed the mark.
Tomorrow on the show, Matt Perino, who covers the Buffalo Bills for Syracuse.com, will be with us, as will Joanna Chadwick, as will Celise Blow from Wichita State Women's Basketball, and as will the big fella, Anthony, for the three-man booth.
Darn right.
So, is this the first time we've done the three-man with Anthony?
No, sir. To at least the second, maybe the third.
Well, I look forward to it.
Thank you.
Not you.
Oh.
Having Anthony here.
Well, maybe you can just do the show with Anthony.
You want me to?
I don't know. Probably not.
Well, it's up to you.
Probably not.
You want to skip out again?
No, probably not. I'll probably be here.
What do you got planned for the weekend?
I don't know. Aaron's going to be here.
Well, what's the plan?
I don't know. They're going up to Ark City for something tomorrow and Saturday.
You going?
No, I got to work.
You got to work Saturday?
No, but I got to work tomorrow.
Well, you could drive up there Saturday.
I'm good.
Well, that's a terrible outlook.
It's nothing I need to attend. It's all good.
Well, your daughter's home for the weekend.
Yeah, and they'll have a wonderful time.
I'd want to spend as much time around her as possible.
Nah, she can do her own thing. And
when you went away to college,
we'll hang out tonight.
You lived at home. There was no thrill for me.
No,
about
I tried
having
to get
you come
I
home.
Tried to get out as much as possible.
No, you didn't.
In a way,
you hunkered down right there.
No, I didn't.
Thinking about what could have been had you asked the meteorology girl out.
Well, put some respect on her name. It's Christine, I believe.
What a sad sack.
Why?
Just close the door. My dog's seeing something outside. I don't know. Just, you know.
Who cares?
I had a girl in my meteorology class. I asked her out.
She said no.
No, she went.
She went.
She went out with me.
She went. She showed up on accident to some place.
No, we went out together.
And how'd that go?
Very well.
Wrong.
Let me just say that.
I don't want to. And I don't want you to.
I think I love making you uncomfortable more than anything in the world.
Not uncomfortable.
It is highly uncomfortable.
When's Gunta going to be on?
Don't worry about Gunta.
Gunta!
Please don't yell, Jeff. I swear.
This is me, man. I do this at home. I don't know what you think is going on here.
Don't do it here.
There's hard.
Decorum here.
No, there shouldn't
There's
be.
There's a way to carry yourself.
There shouldn't be.
And try to be respectful.
Okay, I'll try.
And how are you handling not having a kid at home? Is that going well?
It's going fine.
I can't imagine that you're doing that well with it.
Yeah, we're doing fine. We hang out. We watch TV. We go to bed. Sometimes we're going out tonight, I think.
Where are you going?
Because the kid's going to be here. We're going to check out the new Barnes & Noble.
Well, there you go.
And maybe hit some place for dinner. You want to come?
Oh, no. I don't know. No.
Okay. That's fine.
No.
That's fine.
Thank you for the invitation, I'm not sure it was one.
Sure it was.
Thanks to Max back in the studio, our guest today. Really cool, really good stuff. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.